Yeah, Taryn's back to give you deeds again. He's digging deep on Survivor to find you everything you need. So if your life is packed, let Taryn and his friends break down the episode beyond what the casual see. Taryn's update for Survivor.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Survivor Stockwatch podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me tonight, I have an amazing guest, somebody that I always am very happy to talk to. It's Kemi. How you doing, Kemi?
I'm good. I was hoping you would introduce me as like Kemi from Survivor Season.
Kemi from Survivor Season. Yeah.
Survivor hopes and dreams.
from Kemi from having watched Survivor is with me today.
Kemi from the couch.
Yes, we are here to talk through this. I think it was what, like episode 5 of Survivor, and we're going to talk through the quickly talk through the episode and then rate the players based on how well we think they're doing based on the edit that we are seeing. So we should have a fun time here tonight. Kemi, how have you liked the season so far?
You know, I'm actually really loving the season. I didn't really know what to expect after season 41, which to me was, I don't want to say boring because that's, I mean, I always enjoy Survivor, but I'm enjoying this season a lot more than I did 41. And I feel like just because it seems to be a better season, I'm enjoying it more than I like would if we had two back-to-back good seasons.
Okay. Yeah, I think I get that. Kemi, something that we have in common is that we are both big Chanel stans.
Yes, my girl Chanel. Oh my God, I love her so much. Honestly, I feel like we need more Chanel content on the show. But
definitely.
Too much content means you're in a bad position. Like that's usually
clearly. Yeah. Like, I mean, I was, let me get this out of the way right away. I thought for sure, through most of this episode, I was like, this is the Chanel boot episode. I was like, this is it. And I can't, Kemi's on for the Chanel boot episode.
I know. I almost texted you. I'm like, can we push to next week? Because I'm a little biased and I might start like whoever's conspiring against
worst me. Season ever.
Ever.
Call screw everything. This was not a good idea, Jeff.
Okay, but can we talk about Jeff for a second? Because I know, like, complete sidebar. If I was in these competitions, like the challenges, Jeff would really, like, I would have to have, like, a Jeff mute button in my head because there's no way that I would be able to focus with him, like, Kemi just, like, she's really struggling through that puzzle. I'd be like, well, now I'm going to struggle even harder.
Kemi with the worst puzzle performance I've seen in days.
I would literally, like, oh my, I understand Wendell so much at Winners and more than I watch these because it's like, Jeff, can you just mute for a second?
Jeff, why don't you get in here? Do this. You're so knowledgeable about it.
I want to know if Jeff actually, like, I assume they have to do like a trial run to make sure people don't die in these challenges. Does Jeff do? I have to know.
I don't think Jeff does. They have a team that does them. Okay. I don't know that Jeff ever gets too involved.
I want to see Jeff swimming at one point because he clearly is like, you know, he has these like the back of his hand.
Jeff would be swimming and then the tide would be really strong. He'd be like, Jonathan!
Honestly,
Jonathan, help!
Jeff is a Jonathan stan. Like,
oh, yeah.
I think we all notice this. Like, it's like actually insane. For the first few episodes, I'm like, oh, you know, Jonathan is kind of caring. But the moment Jonathan, like, chopped chopped the like rope with the machete. Mike also did one chop and you didn't call attention to that.
Jonathan in one chop.
Yeah, like we get it. Jonathan, like we get it. We get it. But
Jonathan had a couple of moments here in the challenge. First, when they're doing the rolling, Jonathan, we're going to talk about this a little bit, I'm sure, but Jonathan and Marianne not getting along super well. And I love that it seems to culminate in the middle of the challenge with a
roll.
I'm rolling.
Roll more.
Roll more.
You know what? Sorry, go ahead.
I just feel like this is the second episode in a row where somebody has been giving like the most inane suggestions during a challenge. Like Rock's last week was like under, then over, then under, then over, and then now we have Jonathan going roll more.
Yeah, like breathe continuously. Like
yeah.
No, but Jonathan, honestly, I resonated with him a lot at the beginning of the episode because I'm also someone who likes to let the silence ride. Like, we don't need to fill all silence with conversations. And, like, I literally talk to my friends about this all the time because my best friend, in the nicest way I can put it, is a conversationalist. Like, let's put it that way. I have no problem with silence. So I'm watching Jonathan. I'm like, wow, that would be me. I would be getting so irritated right now. Like, it's not even, it's like white noise, but like not at the same time. Like, it would drive me insane.
Yeah, like at first, I will say, when Jonathan started talking and he was like, man, the women are talking a lot. I was like, Jonathan, but then when the more information started coming out, when Marianne was like, it's the 7 a.m. news hour. I was like, oh, it's 7 a.m. right now. And then when he was like, where's my canteen? They were like, let's play hot and cold. Yeah. I was like, okay. I think I get this a little bit. I think I understand what he's talking about a little bit.
And it seemed like a little bit, not of a time lapse, but like a long period of time kind of together. Because it looked like at one point it was raining. And I know, like, they're probably cold, it's raining, they're hungry, and now they won't shut up. Like, I would be so irritated. Oh, my God.
They were talking about Mario Kart.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, they're talking about Mario Kart and like, oh, I'm so good at Mario Kart. I'm a beast at Mario Kart. I would have been interested in the conversation, but yeah, definitely, maybe not at 7 a.m.
Yeah, and I'm reluctant to say this, and maybe we can edit this part out. But, you know, the dynamic between Jonathan and Marianne is like a little bit, for me, because it's like this gigantic man getting annoyed at this little girl, which he pointed out, but the aesthetic of it all is bringing me back to my season. And it, I'm like, this like long-haired, I was literally watching like as much as I agree with him and I would be annoyed, I'm like, I can't, like, I'm forcing myself not to agree with him.
That's exactly how I felt, too. Like, because, like I said, at first I was like, and then I was like, okay, I can sort of see where you're coming from. But then I did feel like when she, like, stepped in the way of the thing, I was like, oh, come on, Jonathan. Like even beyond just the aesthetics of it, like, I feel like Jonathan was in the wrong in that situation. Like, he's banging away with a, like, deadly weapon. Your first reaction shouldn't be like, no, it's your fault. Like, be careful with the weapons.
Right. And like, make sure no one's around before you start like hacking away at something. Like, we're in close quarters. Maybe just take a courtesy glance, make sure no one's around.
I did like that Marianne was like, it's all my workspace.
Yeah.
The whole thing is my workspace.
No, Marianne is actually so funny. I keep calling her Marianne. Oh, my God. Marianne is so funny. Like, I can understand why it might be a lot if you're starving on an island and haven't like been able to binge Real Housewives of Atlanta for the past God knows how long. But, you know, I'm enjoying it a lot.
Me too. Me too. She says this about Jonathan.
Hope he knows pride's a deadly sin.
Hope he knows pride's a deadly sin. She says, I hope he knows pride's a deadly sin.
Hope he knows pride's a deadly sin.
Pride is a deadly sin, isn't it?
Mm, yeah. This was also Jonathan describing Marianne and Lindsay.
Hey, live it up. Hey, live it up.
Which is similar but different to.
Wait, are those llama noises?
No, that is genuinely Marianne from a previous episode. And this is Jonathan describing Marianne.
Hey, live it up.
It's not bad.
Maybe they're kindred souls. They didn't know all along, like they were sent here. It was destined.
I think you're right. Yeah. So we saw that. Now, obviously, this has some sort of like implications. We really thought that Taku was going to be very tight heading into Emerge, but there definitely does seem to exist some tension. But I will say, in comparison to other tribes, this still seems like pretty minor tension. I feel like this is probably misdirection. I feel like there's still going to be a tight four heading into the merge.
I think so. I think they would be a lot tighter without Jonathan, maybe, because he has, I don't want to say carried, but he's done a lot of the legwork and the challenges, and that wouldn't go unnoticed by me, and I'm sure not going unnoticed by anyone else on his tribe. So it's like, you know, for me, it's like going into I would maybe want to get rid of him before the merge. I understand that he's like a meat shield and all that, but that doesn't really, like, I hate when people say that because meat shields typically make it to the end. Like, look at, like, that other show where the meat shield ended up winning. Like, it always happens where you think that you can get them out and then they go on, like, an immunity run. And, you know, what competition is he going to be bad at?
Well, I am curious to see how he performs in individual immunities, because Survivor is usually pretty good about, you know, individual immunity being very, like the spread kind of is, I mean, you know, obviously not back in the day when like Mike Holloway is winning everything, but like in recent Survivor seasons, it's been like very balance focused, very like lots of different kinds of like niche skills that we see like different kinds of players tend to win. And honestly, people like Jonathan, tend to struggle in a little bit at least. So I'm curious to see how he performs here in the individual portion as we head into the merge.
I know they're not going to, because obviously they're doing the same template as 41, but I want an eating competition to come back. I want what is it called? The auction. Like, what happened to that? Yeah. That was like one of my favorite parts of Survivor.
Yeah, they bring it back occasionally, but maybe that's how they keep it fresh by not doing it all the time. But I would like, since we're sort of following the same formula as last season, we probably won't see it. But I would definitely, especially the eating competitions. I always those back in the day, those were like one of my favorites.
I don't see them bringing the auction back with this whole like 28 days, you don't have rice, like so hard. No returning, whatever, like brand new game. I feel like they're not going to do it because, I mean, you can live off of like a rack of ribs for like 2 days. Me, at least, I definitely could.
Well, we do get a little bit from the Ika tribe. We hear Roxroy say this. It doesn't come back and bite me in the friggin' buttocks. I love Rox, right? I love the things he says.
He's like, I don't know. I feel like his confessionals, I don't know. I feel like we're not seeing enough of his confessionals. Like, he's probably really funny in the confessionals because he knows he's going out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, obviously in the game, he's not doing super well, and nobody seems to like him very much on his tribe, but yeah. I think he's very funny in the confessionals.
Let's get crack-a-lackin'.
I love it.
No, they're honestly so lucky to have you guys with the sound bites, because half of them I don't even remember.
That's what we're here for. We are also going to see that now I don't know how involved you have been, if you're like aware of this, but a big controversy for Survivor of the last few episodes is that in the first episode of in the premiere episode of Survivor this season, we heard and saw this clip.
Potatoes have skin. I have skin. Am I a potato?
Where we saw a clip of Tori's face hearing what sounds very much like Tori's voice reading the potato line, very heavily implying that at some point Tori finds the potato idol. And so most of anybody who caught that or is online reading about it has thought, well, that spoils the fact that every time Ika goes to tribal and Tori is the decoy boot, it's not going to be Tori. So people have felt spoiled up until this episode, where it turns out it wasn't even her that found it in the first place.
Interesting, interesting of CBS trying to keep us on our toes. Good one, I guess.
It's just like, why did they do that? It's, what is the purpose of like either recording Tori saying this or recording somebody saying this that sounds a lot like Tori? Because the weird thing is that there was a promo prior to the season airing where it was Marianne's voice that said the potato line. Then in the premiere, it was again very much sounding like Tori's voice reading it. And then in this episode, we get Drea's voice reading it because Drea's the one that finds it. If it's misdirection, why is it Tori? Why is it the person that is the decoy boot for the first two tribals that Ika goes to, making us believe that it couldn't be her when it could have been her, but we thought it couldn't have been because of the stupid thing?
Yeah, I mean, isn't like, so I guess sidebar, but isn't it like people who get paid to kind of like watch a movie and edit it down into the trailer, they get paid millions and millions of dollars to make it like alluring but not spoil anything. Someone needs to lose their job, I think, because clearly, I mean, the misdirection. What's going on? Just kidding. But yeah.
Fun fact: that used to be when I was in college. That was I was like, that's my dream, to be somebody that edits like trailers and stuff, because they get like promo stuff, because they get paid a lot. They can work remotely, and I was like, I want to be an editor. That sounds like a great job. I just want to get paid and work from home.
I think I saw it in some movie that I think Jude Law and Cameron Diaz were in the movie. I don't remember. Maybe not Cameron Diaz, but Jude Law was definitely in the movie. And whoever his love interest was had that position. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. And they got paid like so much money to do like what seems like an easy job. I'm sure it's not that easy, but yeah.
So that's what's happening on Ika. Drea, we're going to see that Drea and Romy are very, very tight. Drea finds the idol. Of course, we're going to see that it is going to be activated. I thought Drea did a great job activating the idol with the way that she introduced the potato line. We got Marianne, of course, doing her classic tale of the rabbit in a mailbox. and then we also got Mike, who told us and the tribe that he was not planning to activate the idol because he didn't want everyone to know that that it was going to that he had it. And he said this:
I don't know if that's balls or stupidity.
I don't know either, but I feel like I think this was smart. I think he shouldn't have activated it. It's about to be activated come the merge. And I don't think he needs his vote in this particular spot. And I think that going into the merge with nobody knowing that you have the idol is huge, especially because you know exactly where the other two idols are now, and they don't know where your idol is.
Right. I wonder if he felt like he couldn't trust his tribe to...
must have been, yeah. Which, yeah. Understandable, considering everything that happened in the previous trial. Right.
yeah, I mean... I probably would have played it too if I were him, for that exact reason. Like, between Daniel and Chanel, one of them is going to stay. Everyone on my tribe knows that I have an idol. And I know that they would know that they're at the bottom once we go into the merge, which is approaching in one or two challenges. So they're going to scurry off to whoever and, you know, reveal that I have an idol. So I probably would have just put it out there as well.
Well, we ultimately see that Vati is the one that the tribe that loses this challenge. And that, because that's the other thing about this is that, like, he had a 2 in 3 chance of not even going to tribal in the first place. And then he definitely wouldn't have needed that that vote. But ultimately, they do lose the challenge. We get this interesting. Jonathan and Jeff have had some interesting exchanges post-challenge. This is perhaps the most interesting.
Smaller, but it will get the job done for sure.
Amen, Mr. Jeff.
Mr. Jeff.
Mr. Jeff.
Still not used to it.
I just want to know if they've moved in together yet, like at this point.
Right?
Like, he's obsessed with him. And also, what does Mr. Jeff even mean?
Smaller, but it will get the job done. Amen, Mr. Jeff. Mr. Jeff. Oh, boy. Like, right. I don't know if I should be watching this. I feel like this is private.
Get a room. No, it's weird. And then, like, I also didn't notice that Jonathan has, like, an accent or something. I'll be surprised if there isn't some sort of, like, him and Tori, like, the Southern, like, thing. Because I feel like people from the South, whether anyone's willing to admit this or not, people from the South have this, like, kinship with each other in these sort of games. Mm. Like, they always feel like, oh, us Southern people have to look out for each other. And it's like, I understand that, like, to a certain extent, if someone feels familiar to you, you feel like they're easier to get along with, they're easier to understand, to read. If they're potentially lying to you, you'd be able to see through it. But it's so annoying because I feel like they stock these shows with these, like, homegrown people. And then they always end up working together in some capacity. Weird.
The Texas A&M archetype is definitely a big one in Big Brother.
Right?
So yes, so for the Vati tribe, we're going to see Lydia being sent to Shipwheel Island, and from Ika, Roxroy is going to go to Shipwheel Island. We finally get a bit from Lydia. Very nice to finally get some content from her, because I feel like, basically, since the premiere, we haven't really heard from her at all, especially since, like, she was, like, the sort of target for the last tribal for Vati, and we didn't hear from her at all. But it was very nice hearing from her. I thought her story was nice. And in addition to that, I loved hearing her strategic thought process in terms of pretending to be on the outs at Vati and not wanting to reveal too much about her position. Roxroy, again, love Roxroy. Lydia's gonna ask Roxroy, are you tight with anyone? And Roxroy's,
are you guys all tight?
Who is tight? You know, yeah. It's like,
I didn't end the clip there. That's where his sentence ends in the episode.
I feel like there's always at least one person on every season of any of these, like, reality game shows that they just can't give a straightforward answer. It's like, so what color is the sky? Well, the way that the light reflects on the ocean would make you think, like, oh my God, just shut up. Like, every single season, there's always at least one, every single time.
Yeah, it's like what does tight really even mean? You know, like are we tied together, or do you mean just like that we're like tense? You know, like tight. You know, like that kind of. I just wanted to clarify. Like, no, like, who are you close to? Like, physically close. Like, I tend to sleep closer to you know, Tori, but yeah, I don't want to. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean like who. Like, who are you in a close relationship with? Well, I mean, really close relationship probably with the bugs that are crawling all over me while I sleep is the very close relationship with them. Yeah. Couldn't have been. She calls him cagey. Like, yeah, it's he's really, really not even remotely. Like, at least she was pretending to answer the question by lying to him. He was just like, who is tight out here, really, if you think about it?
I think she did a really good job of lying about her position in the game. I thought that was really smart of her.
Yeah. They both protect their vote. That means no more extra votes coming in. We go to the Vati tribe, and at first they were saying Chanel should go because Daniel is, he's shady, but at least we can like see through him. He's obviously shady, whereas Chanel seems a little more dangerous in that she's a little harder to read, probably, and she seems more capable of hiding deception than Daniel, who is just all over the place. But we get this weird like storyline of like, but Daniel, he was fishing. And isn't that weird about the arm? I was like, why would that mean they vote him out? They're about to merge. I really thought this was misdirection. But then we get to tribal and they vote out Daniel. And I still don't know exactly why. My read on it would be that when it came down to it, if that really was their criteria, like who's more see-through, Daniel is the one trying to like be all chummy, as Chanel points out, like, oh, we're going to be friends for life. Like, we're such a big, happy family now, which is obviously fake. Whereas Chanel was just like, I mean, you guys know what's up. Like, obviously there's some tension here, but, you know, we'll work together. Don't worry about it.
Can I just say that, like, that whole, like, Daniel's personality is just, like, exactly what, I don't even know how to put it into words. Like, why would you even want, God, I don't want to sound mean. I personally do not get along with people who are so obviously like, it's like not necessarily fake, but it's like in your face in a way that is easily perceived as being fake, because it's like, why are you so much like, right? Like, I don't know how to describe it, but you get what I'm saying? Like, it's just,
Forward.
Yeah. It's too forward. It seems very disingenuous. If you're like this with me, you're probably like this with everyone. And Lisa Vanderpump from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills has a great quote. Someone who's loyal to everyone is loyal to no one. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. I feel like that's the thing where like, it really did seem like Daniel exposed himself as deeply disloyal in the previous tribal that they went to. And so to play up the character of like, I'm a loyal guy, like I messed up, but I'm still loyal to you. I feel like they ultimately, and again, it's hard to know exactly until we hear from them exactly what their reason was here. But I personally, if I was in that situation, I would read how he was acting now as like, okay, this is fake. Like you turned on us. You turned on your closest ally. You continue to blame your closest ally for the situation that you put yourself in. And you're pretending like it's all chill now, with us, but not with her. Like it just strikes me as wrong. Whereas, I also wouldn't necessarily trust Chanel after what she did. But I feel like I could trust Chanel to talk to her and work with her as long as it's in her best interest. Whereas I don't know that like Daniel's a wild card, it seems. Like what is he even doing when he's in a confessional saying, you know, this all could have been avoided if Chanel had just stuck with me. Like what are you talking about? You threw her under the bus so hard, and how are you still blaming her?
He believes it himself. Like people who like lie and like they believe their own lie as a form of the truth instead of like knowing that like I'm lying. Like you're actually believing your own lie. You're scary. Like I don't want anything to do with you. But especially like if I'm Mike. If I'm Mike and Chanel just dropped that bomb about the fact that Daniel revealed like his.
Yes.
Like, yeah. So if I'm Mike, I'm voting Daniel out, period.
Yeah. And that's a very good call as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like Pi probably could have gone either way. And maybe I feel like even with the fishing thing, like something as small as that is like, you don't want to help us win challenges. Like you want to sit out every challenge because it's convenient for you. You're like keeping your energy reserve for whatever reason. Maybe you're storing up your energy source for the merge so that you can now like blast through the challenges, which I doubt. But like you clearly are capable of competing, but you're choosing not to. And I would personally find that like irritating enough to vote him out, because you don't get a free ride to the merge because you want to and you're lying about your shoulder.
Yeah, and I wonder how much Mike was really driving this vote. Like, I wonder if it was that Hai was genuinely talking to Lydia about, like, I would prefer to see Chanel go because of these reasons. But then they talk to Mike, and Mike is, like, very much like, no, I really feel like it should be Daniel. I don't think we can trust Daniel. And maybe Mike is the reason that they ultimately flip over, because Hai doesn't really care one way or another all that much. Maybe that is what happened here, but we probably won't know until we hear from from them probably. But there it is. That's what we had in the episode. Should we rate these players
really quick? I did get a text from Chanel because I asked her, like, why did you vote for Mike? Like,
oh right, yes, we have to talk about that.
Yeah, I asked her, like, why did you vote for Mike? She said, basically, if Daniel had played his shot in the dark, then she would be going home. But if she voted for Mike, it would insulate her, and therefore it would be a tie. One on Mike, one on Chanel, and then there would be a revote.
Yes. So this is what I was, I was trying to figure out at the end of the episode, because we get the votes and it's two Chanel, two Daniel, and one Mike. And it's at first very confusing. But it does actually make some sense what Chanel did here. That basically, if Chanel is not anticipating a split vote, that it's going to be, two, 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 one. Or like, if they're not splitting the vote between Chanel and Daniel, which they did in anticipation for a shot in the dark play, then there's a scenario where if you're expecting four votes to go on to Daniel and one vote to go on to Chanel, Daniel plays the shot in the dark, meaning there's zero votes cast for anybody but Daniel, but Daniel ends up safe. Now they're going to revote, and they potentially revote her out of the game. So that's not a good scenario. So if she votes for Mike, then it's three votes, Daniel. Those are canceled by his safety shot in the dark. He doesn't vote. There's one vote, Mike. Mike leaves, no revote, and she's safe. Now, obviously, in this scenario, if Daniel had decided to use his shot in the dark, and because they did split the votes, it would have been a tie. One vote Mike, one vote Chanel, because they split their votes and there was one on Chanel. So in this scenario, the revote probably would have ended with Chanel leaving, assuming that that it really was that her the backup. But it does make some sense if she's not anticipating the split, if they're not telling her that that's going to happen, and she wants to insulate herself from a potential shot in the dark use, which, quite frankly, Daniel should have done. I thought that, if it's a spot where it's one or the other of you, I think Chanel should have heavily considered it. Yeah. Obviously, she had the right read that she didn't need to. So, can't fault her too much. But, like, somebody's got to play a shot in the dark there. You should not be holding that in reserve. So it does make some sense.
Can you see the shot in the dark beyond the merge, or does it end?
They can, yeah. Okay. They can at the merge too, yeah. So it does make some sense. I think there's obviously some risk attached here, but really, like, the thing is that if they had decided to vote Chanel out, then it doesn't matter where Chanel puts her vote. Regardless of where she puts her vote, she's still gone. Right. So, you can see how, like, on a technical sort of theoretical level, this does make some sense. She may be in some hot water with Mike afterward, but, like, it's not like she had a great relationship with this tribe anyway. She's probably looking to flip on them at the merge, and she probably knows the merge is coming. There's also the possibility of potentially trying to blame one of Hai or Lydia for the vote. I don't know if she could get away with that considering her position in the tribe right now, but, there are certainly a lot of different ways that it could go. At first I was like, what could this possibly, like, this is ridiculous, but so it's actually not as ridiculous as it first appears, I think.
I wonder if she's allowed to blame Daniel for the vote on Mike. I know, like,
that's,
sometimes
yeah, yeah.
rules. Yeah, but if she can, I would probably do that if they don't try to interfere.
Yeah, and I mean, they probably believe it was Daniel. I think just to, like, I don't know. It obviously wasn't me. Although, you know what? I don't know if she could blame Daniel because there were two votes on her and they'd have to account for that other vote, right? So if Hai and Lydia are saying we both voted Daniel, and because I think it was that, right? It was Hai and Lydia voted Daniel, Mike votes Chanel, Daniel votes Chanel. So if Daniel wasn't the vote for Chanel, then where did that other Chanel vote come from? She can't vote for herself.
Yeah.
So she probably can't blame it on Daniel.
Can't wait till next week.
Yeah, I'm curious to see where that goes for sure. You know, it's so, like, Chanel is definitely coming up with a lot of, like, intricate plans here. One of them failed pretty spectacularly. We'll see where this one goes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that if it isn't the merge, then hopefully Bachi doesn't lose another competition.
So it should be the merge. We got the preview that it's the merge, but not really, which means I think we're getting the hourglass, right?
I have very strong feelings about the hourglass. Like, I am very heavily against. I'm not heavily against it as, like, a concept, but I don't agree that it should completely flip the way, like, the results. I feel like they should just start over. Like, you know how in Big Brother they have the reset where you start over and you do it all over again? That's how it should be. Like, it should completely invert the results. Like, that is not fair at all.
It's dumb. Hopefully that's not how it works this time, but we'll see. I mean, you know, Jeff got reamed out for the last one. Well, who knows if he's stuck? Maybe that deservedly made him stick with it even more.
Deservedly. Like, I can't even describe, like, when I heard that, I forget what his name is from last season, the guy with the dreads, the ex
Danny.
Yes. That he was, like, throwing a fit about the hourglass. I would have been throwing a fit too. Like, who wouldn't have been throwing a fit? And this whole, like, oh, you know, the rules of Survivor change every time. I would have been furious. Like, it doesn't matter what the rules are. If you win a competition, then you win a competition. Like, in anything ever, if you ever win a competition, you have won. In what scenario does it make sense that winning, putting in all that effort to win, now makes you, like, have to suffer the consequences as if you lost? Like, I would be fuming. I would be fuming. But yeah.
Very lame twist. All right, let's rate the players. Let's get into it. Here are the players. I've brought them up on the screen if you're watching the video. Let's talk about Vati first, and we can start from the bottom. I think there's a pretty clear bottom here of the tribe, and that bottom is Daniel. Not great. He was voted out. I think we can say largely his fault that he got voted out. I gave him a one, I think 2 weeks ago when all of that stuff went down. And, you know, I just, I feel like there's not really any reason to be anything but, like, very down on how Daniel's performance plays out here. He's ultimately, like, I think the reasoning, you know, the reasoning of Daniel is somebody that we can see through more than Chanel is maybe not, like, super true, but I do think that Chanel has more potential as a player and is potentially, like, somebody who has a better chance of, like, successfully turning against you and successfully, like, making it to the end. Whereas Daniel just seemed like such a mess, that it's like, where does Daniel really even go? You know, I don't even know that it was necessarily the right call, but whatever Chanel did or whatever Daniel did to make it that, so that it was Daniel, it clearly was not great on Daniel's end. And, for that reason, I think, you know, for somebody that has screwed up so much, to get himself here, I've got to give him the one, the lowest, rating that we can give.
I would give him a one also, but specifically because, well, I guess kind of to like echo what you said, he's very chaotic. And as a super fan, I would expect a little bit more, not necessarily dialing it back, but like, just what we saw at the last tribal was just ridiculous. Like, there's no reason why you should be like just so obviously lying. Like, I feel like when you lie, there has to be a reason for it, and there has to be like an end goal. What was your end goal when it comes to like throwing Chanel under the bus? Because you're both still going to be in the game, and now you're both going to be telling two sides of the same story. You've told her secrets, which she can now expose, and did. Like, I would think that you would have a little bit more forethought. And for that, I would definitely say a one.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So Daniel is out. That means that I think we probably have to go Chanel next, or at least I would, on the list. Now, I think there is reason to be positive about Chanel in this episode. First of all, she survives against Daniel. Again, the work that I was impressed with last episode, where she threw Daniel under the bus in regards to the Mike Idol situation, clearly had some impact. Whatever she was doing at camp versus what Daniel was doing at camp had some good impact. Now, outplaying Daniel doesn't seem like it's like the most like momentous achievement in the world at this point, but still, I think she's done a good job there. I think we also have to factor in the fact that the merge is coming, and that could be huge for Chanel, who's going to get out from under this tribe that she's clearly at the bottom of. And she has made a connection to somebody who has a lot of potential power here in Omer, who is down here. Now, I don't know how Omer feels about Chanel, given the fact that he has not yet found out that he lost his vote because of her. But if they're able to reconnect, and, you know, Omer's probably going to be looking for numbers, he's probably going to look to Chanel. She's probably going to have to go, look, I'm sorry, but I don't know what I was thinking, but I risk my vote, which means you don't have a vote, but I'm willing to flip to help you guys because I'm at the bottom of my tribe because I risk my vote. I feel like she may have some options. Obviously, the merge opens things up dramatically for any player who is in a bad spot on their tribe. So the biggest thing for me is that she has screwed up in the past. She's also done well in the past. She did very well socially to get herself into the position she was in before. Then she did kind of screw it up a little bit. So I'm kind of like cautiously optimistic. I think that, I think for me, I'm going to go just about at like a four for Chanel. I think that, you know, things are looking up. I'm hopeful that like at the merge next week, 2-hour merge episode, I'm hoping that she's like locked in a new position at that point. As a big Chanel's fan. But for right now, I feel like she's still got a lot of work ahead of her. I would say a four. Kemi, what are your thoughts?
I don't know. Like, of course, like, I'm friends with Chanel. She hasn't spoiled me, no matter how much I've tried to, like, waterboard her. Just kidding. I really, really want to give her a 10, but that would obviously be biased. But like you said, I do think she has options. Coming into the merge, Hai is clearly off the table. He's like leading the anti-Chanel steamroll right now. And Lydia is kind of Hai's like right hand. He saved her last week. So like, I feel like they're a very strong pair. But as you mentioned, I do think that she'll have Omer going in. Not only because they did, well, yes, because they did the, what is it called? The trolley? I forget what it's called. The voyage?
Oh, the people at Shipwheel Island. I've called it Advantage Island. You have the sort of like faux prisoner's dilemma sort of thing. Yeah.
No, the like walk that they did. I forget what it's called.
Yeah, I don't know what they call the walk, but just when they go to the island to do the risk your vote or not, right?
Summit. That's
summit.
The word.
Yes, that's what you're talking about. Okay.
Yes, they did the summit together, which connects them. And yes, she like is the reason that he lost his boat. But I feel like Omar is probably going to be on the bottom of his tribe right now, considering his performance in this last challenge. So if they're both at the bottom, maybe bygones can be bygones at the merge. They can squash all of that, work together going forward, maybe pick up one or two other people who might be on the bottom of their tribe. So with that being said, I want to give her a 7 because I feel like she has the, you know, she's everything that Daniel is not. Like, she is more so organized chaos, whereas, oh, that chart call, she's like chaotic, neutral. Yeah, whereas he's like chaotic negative or whatever. And I just feel like, you know, that's to her advantage. So I'm going to go 7 and I'm sticking.
There you go. And no, nobody can complain either because there's no game attached to this at this time. So nobody's, nobody's stocks are being affected by this. So we're all good. And genuinely, very genuinely, I think that, I think there's a real possibility that Chanel comes out of the merge episode in a better spot than Hi, Lydia and Mike. Because they're going into the merge with a disloyal member in Chanel, and I feel like that could spell disaster because Chanel can dump all kinds of info on how tight those three are. She can flip to Omar or wherever she wants to go, and that could leave Mike and Lydia at the bottom of a new merge structure, and Chanel probably at the bottom of the majority of a merge structure, which is a better spot than the actual bottom of the merge structure. So I do think that there is a chance that Chanel comes out of the merge in a better spot. For right now, though, I think, I'm a bit lower, but, we understand the influence of, you know how charming she is firsthand.
Exactly. And I feel like, hasn't much time passed, you know, from when she filmed to now. Like, if this is the Chanel that I knew who's on the island, there's no way she doesn't get farther than, like, you know, something like that. I don't know. I'm going to continue, like, trying to get spoilers, and I'll bring them back to you guys, but...
all right. Well, above Chanel for me, I would have, it's kind of tough. I feel like I'm going to put Mike, and I'm going to give him a 6. I feel like Mike he's got the idol now. It's active. He has a vote now. Heading into a merge, I don't love that he decided to share the phrase and let everybody know that he has the idol. But I do feel like if there's anyone Chanel is going to feel a little bit like less like she wants to turn on them, I feel like it's Mike. I feel like he's got her loyalty to some degree. She might want to flip with him if she's going to flip, or she might decide she wants to protect him and put the target on High and Lydia more so than him. In addition to the fact that he has the idol, which means they may not risk voting for him and they may vote for somebody like Hi or Lydia first. So I like that about his position here. I also like the fact that he may have been the one to influence this vote onto Daniel and away from Chanel. And just in general, I think he's been a decently impressive player overall. I like that, he is able to get in with Hi and Lydia. He should have some amount of options once they get into a merge situation. But I do still feel like High and Lydia are the sort of drivers of this tribe, and they have the advantage of being in a duo. So I'm going to keep them above Mike for now. But I don't hate Mike's position overall with the 6. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I would give him a 6 as well. I think the fact that Lydia and High are so obviously tight, Mike really doesn't have any other choice but to, like, try to work more closely with Chanel. Unless, like, he plans on going into the merge and, like, fully like latching onto Marion and Drea, because I mean, when it comes to like Lydia and Pi, the way that I would see it, if I was Mike, is like, if I do try to work closely with them, I'm always going to be number three in this trio. Because like, they're clearly like very, very close. Like Pi went to bat for her to save her. And in a game like this, like it's hard to unknow something like that, you know? So if I were Mike, I would definitely try to work with, honestly, I would probably try to work with the other two people with idols. It's weird to me that pretty much everyone knows about these idols. Like, that is, like, bizarre. Like, why are we going idol hunting together? Like, why are we finding idols together and sharing this information, like, together? I think it's, like, very, very weird. But, you know, hey, maybe I'm just too secretive of a person, but... I think Mike's entire tribe knows about his idol, correct? And then, like, does Marianne's entire tribe know about her idol?
I'm not sure. I would assume so at this point. They're supposed to be super tight. So I think so, which means that the only people who don't know about the idols at this point would be Tori and Roxroy.
Right.
So that's not a lot of people that don't know.
Right.
I imagine they're going to get filled in pretty quickly.
Yeah, about everyone's idols. I just think it's just so weird. Bizarre. But yeah, I would give Mike a six as well. I feel like he's playing pretty well. He seems like someone who's like very stuck in his ways a little bit. Like his reaction to finding out that Daniel told Chanel about his idol was not what I expected. Like, it was a very, like, I don't even know. He was like, wow, I'm just finding out a lot of things. I don't know what my response to that would have been, but I know I would have been silent. Or I would have been like, oh, really? Interesting. But, like, I don't know. He's an interesting person.
Yeah. I forgot to play this when we were talking about Chanel's decision to vote for Mike at Tribal. I think the biggest question is
I don't know if that's balls or stupidity.
Not sure yet. All right. So for me, above Mike, I would have just slightly above. I would have Lydia also at a six. Finally getting to hear some strategy from her. I was impressed by that. However, even though I did like how she handled the summit discussion with Roxroy better than how Roxroy handled it, the fact that they weren't able to make a connection there and share any real information is probably not great, since Ika and Vati will probably have to work together if they want any hope of overcoming the more tight Taku tribe. So that wasn't great. And like I said, I feel like Vati's position heading into the merge could be tenuous here because they don't have any of those connections. And despite the fact that obviously not risking her vote meant that she was, you know, didn't make the mistake that Chanel did, she probably could have used an extra vote and she could have got one. So it's not, you know, ultimately with the wrong read on Roxroy, even though I think that playing it safe was probably the smart option. So I would say a six for Lydia, and then Hai at the top. Last week, I was very impressed with Hai. This week, I'm going to be a little more cautious on Hai's rating. I'm going to give him a seven because I feel like, even though I've been very impressed with him in his pre-merge gameplay, heading into the merge, it is a whole new challenge, and he has Lydia. That's great, but there's a whole new set of players that he's got to work around now, and he's got a probably disloyal tribe member in Chanel who is probably going to be flipping and giving info on him. And so I feel like I have faith in him as a player, but he's heading into some rocky waters, and I'm not talking about Roxroy's rot waters. So Cammy, what are your thoughts on Lydia and Hai?
I think I would give Lydia a six as well, just because I feel like she was already on the chopping block like so hard, and Hai has to be higher than her. So Hai, I would probably give him an eight. I feel like Hai's playing really, really well. He's just so likable. Like, I feel like he's very like naturally likable. And then on top of that, like, he, like, sees, like, what's going on. Like, he seems to be very intuitive about everything that's going on with everyone. Like, he reads body language. He reads very deeply into the things that people say. And I feel like that is what makes, like, a really good player. So I would give him an 8.
All right. So that's the Vati tribe. Let's move on to, let's talk through Taku. We saw a bit of drama on Taku. I would say that overall, here on Taku, I would say not too many changes, but I am looking at them heading into the merge. I feel like they should have some options here. I feel like Lindsay's connection to Drea and High with their initial competition, sort of three-way split amulet thing, could be interesting. I feel like Marianne is in an interesting spot as well with her relationship with Omer and now a contentious one with Jonathan. They could maybe have Marianne play as a, like, oh, I might flip, but not really. So I like Taku's position heading into the merge probably more than any other tribe, just because they, despite the conflict in this episode, still seem to be the tightest tribe on the board. And so for Marianne, I'm ready to, like, move up on her positioning. I'd still say probably at the bottom of my rankings on the tribe overall, just because she is in this drama and has been at the bottom of the tribe in terms of the hierarchy. But heading into a merge, she could emerge out on top, and I'm not really that low on her overall. So I'm going to go a 6 for Marianne. I think getting to the merge is huge for her. And I think that I really feel like even though she annoys people at times, she's just got the charisma. Like, she's just so, like, even Jonathan in previous episodes is like, I just like Marianne so much. And, like, she's become too much for him now. But I don't know. I feel like it's going to work for her at the merge. So I'm at a 6 for Marianne.
Yeah, I want to give Marianne probably like an 8 as well, in addition to High. Just because I feel like what you said about Jonathan, I feel like Marianne's personality is going to be what carries her through the game. Like, I feel like she's going to be seen as, like harmless and just, like, likable and just, like, a kid out there trying to, like, figure herself out the way people saw Swati. Like, oh, you know, she's just, like, young and, like, doing her thing. I feel like that is going to, like, really work in her advantage. And I don't think that it's lost on her, you know, like, I think it's very intentional on her part. So I want to give her an 8 because I feel like her social game is really more an art of manipulation, or not manipulation, but like, maybe like throwing a rock and hiding your hand a little bit, but like no one's even looking to see if you're hiding your hand. Because, like,
yeah, and she really shouldn't be a target going into the merge. She has an idol. She has an extra vote. Those are great things to have. But I think she shouldn't be a target, A, from, like, just, like, if you're looking at that tribe, you're probably looking at Omer as, like, the brains of the tribe. You're looking at Jonathan as the brawn of the tribe. You're looking at Lindsay as potentially connected to other tribes with the amulet situation, even though you don't know about it. But she might be very social with other tribes. You're not probably not looking at Marianne as, like, the biggest threat on this tribe, despite the fact that she has an idol. And then the fact that she does have an idol should also persuade you to not vote for her initially, if you are trying to get a vote onto this tribe, because you don't want them, you don't want the vote to be idled out. So I feel like she should be good, and she should have some space to maneuver here heading into the merge, but we will see. The rest of the tribe I've got on a pretty equal level. I'm going to give Jonathan a 6 below Lindsay and Omer here. Heading into the merge, I think that he is going to be a big threat, as a big physical threat that people will start targeting. I think that, you know, however understandable you may have found the 7 a.m. annoyance to be, I still don't love how he handled the whole situation. I think that he struggled to sort of, like, keep himself under control, so to speak. Which is, you know, whereas I'm sure Omer was also like annoyed at 7 a.m. But like Omer is like, I don't like, this is a game. Like I'm good. So I think that's, not the greatest sign for Jonathan getting into conflict with Marianne. So I'm going to put him, at a lower six. I'm going to give Lindsay, I'm going to give Lindsay a 7. I'm going to give Omer a 7, but Omer's going to be the highest 7. Because again, Lindsay has that amulet connection. And then I've just been very impressed with how Omer has handled things. He still seems to be the most connected on this tribe. He also has that connection to Chanel, who should be looking to jump ship. So I do feel like Omer is in a good spot heading into the merge. We haven't been able to see him like really prove himself too much like we have with Hai, but his position, I think, should be stronger going into the merge. So. Those are my thoughts on those three. What do you think, Kimmy?
I feel like I would position them the exact same way. I would give Lindsay a 7 for sure. I would probably give Omer a 7, but a little bit lower than Lindsay. And then I would definitely put Jonathan. I guess I would give him a 6. There really isn't anything that he can do, though, about the fact that he's massive and he's been like, helping them win pretty much all the challenges. Yeah. Like, what's the alternative?
Also, yeah, and also Jeff has been like, Jonathan's the greatest competitor I've ever seen on the show, everyone.
Right, like, unnecessary. For me, that would put a target on your back because now you being Jeff's, like, lover boy is already annoying me. I'm voting for him every time, like, and while I'm writing his name down, I'm like looking Jeff in the eyes, like, you did this. So
smaller, but it will get the job done for sure.
Amen, Mr. Jeff.
Like, oh my God. But no, I will say, like, it's unfortunate for Jonathan because there's no way, like, there's no other option for him than to, like, either power through and, like, the best that he can is a lot better in these physical competitions than like the other people just because of his size and like muscle mass, I guess. But like, that's his only option unless he completely throws it. So it's unfortunate that that's the reality, but oh well.
Oh well, indeed. So let's move on to the final tribe here, Ika. We again didn't hear too much from Ika, but I just feel like Ika is such a mess. We learned from Ika that the vote last episode that saw Swati leave was in fact a blindside on Roxroy. Roxroy was not involved and he wasn't even told that it was happening. We thought that that might be the case given his reaction, but we were not sure. We are sure now. I don't know what in the world Romeo and Drea are thinking, blindsiding somebody that you're not even voting out, keeping two people that hate each other on your tribe together, one of them feeling blindsided by you, the other feeling like they're on the outs, that they, you know, they barely managed to survive. And Tori, and you're heading into a merge now. This tribe is such a mess. I feel like there's no way they stick together. There's not a chance. I think they made the wrong choice in the first place by keeping Tori, who is in this episode saying like, yeah, I'm not sticking with this tribe. Are you kidding me? They are scattering to the wind here. And that's not great for Romeo and Andrea. I really feel like they should have done their best to bring Rox in or just vote Tori out. Who cares if Swati told everyone that they were her number one? Who cares? Tori is more dangerous. Keep Roxroy on your side. Swati will at the very least attempt to remain loyal to your tribe. I don't think she would be an immediate flip like Tori will be. I feel like that was just such a big error. And so I'm going to penalize all of them for it, especially heading into the merge. All that said, I do still feel like Tori, I would put at the bottom here. I just have the least amount of faith in her as a social player. She just continually seems to, even though she's managed to survive, which like I'll give her kudos for that. She also just continually gets herself into trouble and doesn't seem to be able to build strong bonds with people and build any true lasting alliances or relationships. So that's going to be an issue. I would put Roxroy just above her, who also like he got blindsided. He's not super He's not been super successful in the social department. He calls himself a terrible social player in this episode. And he also has this moment.
Are you guys all tight?
Who is tight? You know, yeah. It's like.
So I'm going to put them both pretty low. I'm going to give Tori, I'm going to keep Tori at like, you know, heading into a merge. I feel like she's in a slightly better spot. I'll give her a 4. I'll give Roxroy a 4 as well, just for the tight comment. And the fact that he was blindsided and, you know, he's got Tori who's probably going to be targeting him at a merge. Like the fact that Tori and Roxroy are probably targeting each other at the merge, I can't understate how bad that is for both of them. Because they're probably going to put themselves in a situation where the vote at the merge, erasing all the hourglass stuff, which could change everything, but it probably will make it so that the vote is between Rox and Tori. If they're willing to target each other and they're splitting up their own tribe because of it, then everyone else is going to go, that's the easy thing to do. We'll just pick a side in this battle and one of them will end up leaving. And so it's very bad. I'm going to give them both 4s.
I feel like I would give Tori a 5 just because she was really able to save herself last week. And I can admire that. Like, you know, I didn't really see, I didn't think she had it in her. But yeah, you know, I don't understand why they voted out Swati. I mean, my thing about it is if she's telling everyone that they're her number one, like, okay, so now we all know that she's a liar. That doesn't mean that she has to go. Like we just all see her for who she is. She can go at any other point. Like, we just now know that we can't trust her. But I mean, I guess Roxroy, I don't know. I love him. So I feel like, I feel like I would probably give him a 4 maybe. I don't know. All we've seen is the social aspect of it, and he's not really handling that the best, admittedly. So I guess I would give him a 4. But I don't want to.
I know. It's like hurting cats.
It was like hurting cats.
Yeah. Then I'm going to go, I'm going to really penalize Romeo here. I think he really, made the worst call in the previous vote. And so I'm going to give Romeo a 5 heading into this merge. I just don't love his position here on the Ika tribe. And again, the decision to blindside Roxroy just seems very wild to me. Keeping Tori, very wild decision. And I'm going to give, Drea the highest rating of the tribe. I'm going to give her a 6. She found an idol. And it got activated and she's got an idol. She's got an amulet. She's got an extra vote. And I feel like she's going to have the most amount of options heading into the merge situation. Obviously, there'll probably be a target on her back, but I think that people will be looking to potentially bring her in. That could definitely benefit Romeo, but I'm going to penalize Romeo more for the decision made because it benefited Drea more than it did Romeo to take Swati out over Tori. Because Swati was really gunning for Drea and Drea probably could never trust, Swati. So. That's where I'm at. What do you think?
I guess I would do the exact same thing as you, but the only issue that I have with Drea finding an idol is I don't care if you were even searching with the person, like maybe tuck it into your sleeve, maybe hide it a little bit more and come back to it later. I don't care how tight you are with someone. There's no reason to find the idol together. There's, unless you're playing with like your sibling or parent, or you came in with someone, why do you need to, like, why do they need to know that you have an idol? There's no reason for it. I would never do that ever, 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 ever. So I hate that. And I hate that it's happened so much this season. And I feel like in recent seasons, it's become more common. And I just don't understand it. Like, I don't.
Yeah. I mean, I think at the point where you're searching for it with another person, I think it's tough to then hide it from them because then, like, if you do end up playing it at some point, you're going to have to reveal to them that, like, you really, not only did you, like, just, you didn't just hide it from them, you, like, really went out of your way to be like, yeah, I still haven't found it. You can keep looking. It would feel like a big deception. So I feel like if you were in a position where you didn't want to tell another person, just come to an agreement that, like, hey, we're going to search separately. You know, if one of us finds it, they find it. Like, we can say that we have it or we cannot say that we have it. Like, as long as there's an understanding that, like, that you're not supposed to be sharing the information. I feel like that's when you can keep it to yourself.
I just don't like the camaraderie of it all. Like, I don't mind. I think it was season, I don't remember what season it was, but the season with, what is his name? Spencer and Wu, where they were clearly both searching for the idol, but like not together. Like,
yeah.
But they were like combating each other. That is what we like, what we like to see. Like, not the like, like, let's swing arms together and like both find this idol. Like, then we'll both know who has it. Like, I hate that.
We had an impression of that moment last season.
I bust out my arsenal, which is my ninja stealth mode. I'm cruising to the path, Sonic the Hedgehog style. There's no way he's catching me.
I love Wu. Oh my god, I love Wu. Bring Wu. I wonder if he would do Survivor again. I feel like he wouldn't.
I mean, he did. He came back once. I feel like he'd probably be down.
Yeah, maybe. If I was him, it would be very sore to even come back the first time. But yeah. But yeah. So I think I would give. I don't know. I really have a problem with that. With Drea like announcing to him that she found idol and then like reading it in front of him. I would at least lie about what it said, like make it interesting. But
what do you think? What's the rating there?
Drea, I guess I would give her a 6, and then I would give Romeo a 6 too. I don't think that he's done anything that's like detrimental to his game, but I don't think he's done anything to like move himself forward. As far, like, when I say move himself forward, like, to add anything to his, like, list of, like, why he would, why he should be the sole survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. We did it. We got through them all.
Yeah.
All right. I would say overall, this was not my favorite episode of Survivor this season. I feel like I've really enjoyed the season so far, but for me, this one was probably one of the slower ones in terms of what we were doing. And like, I was sort of like pleasantly surprised with the vote outcome in that it surprised me. And especially the mic situation surprised me and got me thinking. But up until that moment, it did feel very sort of like, you know, even though I was convinced it was Chanel, it was like either way, it's definitely Chanel or Daniel. And that unfortunately led to a very straightforward vote. And then there wasn't like too much else in the episode to like really latch on to other than, you know, like,
Leave it up.
Wait, so last week was your favorite episode this season then?
No, I think I would say the Chanel and Daniel screwing up real bad episode was my favorite. Yeah. Even though I was not pleased because, you know, Chanel is my number one draft pick. I was like, oh boy, this is not doing well for my draft, but it was a very entertaining episode.
It was just like, it blew my mind, and I'm so glad Chanel said it, because I don't think I would have been able to articulate it when she told him like, oh, you know, I'm this super fan of Survivor, but I'm gonna come on here and let someone else control my vote, knowing that they don't have a vote. Like, what sense does that make, Danny?
It still doesn't make, oh, maybe, you know what, I'm interested to see what the exit interviews are like here for Daniel, because I'm assuming that he has some kind of story to explain why he continues to just like blame Chanel for everything.
He believes it himself. Like,
yeah, it's strange. So we'll see what Daniel has to say, I'm sure. But this was so much fun, Kemi. Thank you for doing this with me.
I know. I'm glad that you do this for Survivor, because as you know, this is like one of my favorite shows.
Yes. It's definitely interesting to try to give these ratings to for Survivor, especially like heading into a merge. I feel like it just totally throws off everything in terms of like what the rating really should be. Like, who knows? Who knows at this point?
And then knowing that the hourglass is coming, I can't wait to see the fallout from that. Like, are we going to see people throwing tantrums? Like, I want to see someone kick some sand, because that's exactly how I would be reacting. I'd be pissed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Miriam is so funny. Like she's like she's so
she's no, I think she's like 21 or something. 24 actually. Wow.
Yeah, no,
there you go. all right. Well, that's the stock watch, the Survivor stock watch for this week. Thank you to everyone who listened. This was, again, always a pleasure to have you on, Kemi. Where can people find you if they're looking for you?
Across all platforms, I'm Kisses Kemi, KISSKEMI.
There you go. You can, of course, also find me over on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, watching these episodes live with all of you, plenty of other stuff going on. Check out all the Big Brother coverage we have. And I'll of course, be back next week with another Survivor stock watch. You can also check out the most recent Taryn show with Claire from Big Brother. And then this coming week, I have a conversation coming with Gabby from Survivor. So that was a lot of fun. Make sure you, yes, check out the Taryn Show with Gabby. Thank you all so much again for joining us here tonight. And I will see all of you next time.
Yeah, Taryn's back to give you deeds again. He's digging deep on Survivor to find you everything you need. So if your life is packed, let Taryn and his friends break down the episode beyond what the cast